God's Word this morning to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1. We read this in connection with Lord's Day 6 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Matthew 1 begins with the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and then traces the lineage of our Lord from Abraham. We'll pick up our reading at verse 18 of Matthew 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. This is the holy and inspired word of our God. May he bless it to our hearts this morning. On the basis of that passage and others, we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 6. Question 16. Why must he... That is, why must this mediator and deliverer be very man and also perfectly righteous? Because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which hath sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin, and one who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. Why must he in one person be also very God? That he might, by the power of his Godhead, sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. Who then is that mediator, who is in one person both very God and a real righteous man? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Whence knowest thou this? From the Holy Gospel, which God himself first revealed in paradise, and afterwards published by the patriarchs and prophets, and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, and lastly has fulfilled it by his only begotten Son. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, when we read Matthew 1, we read about the name that the angel commanded Joseph to give to the son of Mary. As we read that name Jesus, we find that name in all caps, Jesus. Capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S. And that's sometimes the way we type things when we're indicating a shout. Now that's not what happened here. The angel did not shout at Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, shouting that name at him. But we can read that name as a shout. That's a good way to think about that name. This is really the shout at this point in history that echoed backwards all the way through the corridors of the Old Testament. That was the shout that was echoing in every promise that was made in the Old Testament. It was the shout, Jesus. And this is the shout, Jesus, that rings forward all through the New Testament. It's the shout, really, that rings from every pulpit of a faithful church when the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is proclaimed. This is the shout. This is the message of all history. It's the shout and the message, Jesus. And what does that name, Jesus, mean? Well, Jesus means Jehovah salvation, as we'll see in a later Lord's Day coming up, explaining the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. Jesus means Jehovah salvation, and that's the message, Jehovah salvation, that echoes through the corridors of the Old Testament and that rings forward through all of the New Testament. Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. That's the message that the Heidelberg Catechism has been building to in the first five Lord's Days, as we were shown in excruciating detail the greatness of our sins, as we were blamed for our own fall into sin. It's not God's fault that we're sinners, but our fault that we're sinners. As we were exposed by the Heidelberg Catechism on the basis of the Word of God as being so corrupt that we cannot keep any of the commandments of God, but are inclined by nature to break all of them, inclined to all evil. The Catechism has been declaring to us man's lowliness and man's wickedness and man's fall, and has been building to this message that man needs a Savior. The message of the Catechism thus far has been man falls, man sins, man dies, man is miserable, man suffers. And now with Lord's Day 6, we come to the truth, but God saves, God delivers. That's the shout that rings through the old and that echoes through the new, echoes backwards and forwards. Jehovah saves us miserable men from all our sins and from all our death. That truth then is precious to the child of God who considers that wonderful work of God in the face of the mediator. That's the message really of Lord's Day 6, the truth of the mediator. That was introduced in Lord's Day 5, question 15, what sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? And now in Lord's Day 6, the qualifications of that mediator are asked after. Question 16, why must he be very man and perfectly righteous? Why must he be in one person also very God? And then question 18, which is the heart of this Lord's Day, who then is that mediator who is in one person both very God and a real righteous man? Our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the truth. That's the one in whom the Church of Jesus Christ sees that message, Jehovah saves. We see it in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that comforts us then in all of our sin and in all of our misery and in all of our death, because all that we accumulate and obtain by ourselves is death. But Jehovah, in His great mercy and compassion, comes and delivers us through the mediator, Jesus Christ. Let's consider that truth of the mediator then this morning under the theme, Our Mediator. In the first place, let us consider His identity. In the second place, consider His qualifications. And in the third place, consider His revelation. Our Mediator, His identity, His qualifications, and His revelation. We begin then looking at the identity of the mediator by seeing that there is salvation from sin. There is one who makes satisfaction for all our sins to Jehovah God himself. That's the big reveal that's here in Lord's Day 6. The Heidelberg Catechism to this point has been explaining the fall of man. It has been explaining our total depravity. It has been explaining that death and sin is our lot because of Adam and because of what we do. The Catechism has been explaining our misery. That's the first section of the Catechism, even. To be reminded again here of the three main sections of the Catechism, the first section is our sins and our misery. The Catechism has been looking for a way out of this sin and out of this misery by asking questions like, since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment, is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and be again received into favor? The Catechism's question there is almost desperate. We must make satisfaction. Is there no way we can be received into God's mercy? And the answer is, God will have his justice satisfied. And so the Catechism asks, can we ourselves make this satisfaction? By no means is the answer, but on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. Question 14, can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? And the answer of the Catechism is none. The Catechism gets more and more desperate here as it tries to find a way to be in the favor of God and delivered from all our sin and our misery. And Lord's Day 6 then opens up finally and declares finally the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is salvation from this sin. There is a way out for us poor sinners. And the way out is through the mediator and the deliverer, who is real God, truly man, and also a righteous man, our Lord Jesus Christ. For us who hear the gospel and know that gospel and have heard that gospel maybe all our lives, sometimes that revelation can seem a small thing. But that revelation that Lord's Day 6 presents to us is the most important thing that we can hear. There's no news better than this news. There is salvation from sin. There is salvation from death through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means then that not only is there a Savior, but that we know him. We know exactly who he is. He's Jesus, the one who was promised in the Old Testament, the one who came in the fullness of time, the one who was named by Joseph according to the word of the angel in Matthew 1, which we read. The Savior, the Deliverer, the Mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice how the Catechism describes him. Who then is that Mediator who is in one person, both very God and a real righteous man? Answer, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's ours. He was sent for us and for our salvation, so that this is no theoretical description of how there might be some salvation possible. This is the declaration of God himself to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a Savior. You have a Deliverer. Your sin and your death is not the end of you or of me, but we have a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. The key word in Lord's Day 6 to describe this Savior is mediator. That's the main word in question 18. Who then is that mediator? And that's the heart of the whole Lord's Day. Who then is that mediator? And so we turn our attention this morning to the idea and truth of the mediator. What is a mediator? A mediator literally is someone who's between, someone who mediates, someone who goes between that one and that one in order to bring them together. That's the idea in our earthly use of that word. If there are two parties who are at odds, let's say a boss and the employees, and there's an ungodly union formed in order to make the boss do what the employees want, then there are mediators who can go between that boss and that union and try to bring the boss and the union together. We use the word mediator even in our earthly language. Well, that's the idea to a degree when it comes to our mediator as well. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who's between. He's between God and us in order to bring reconciliation. But now the idea of Jesus Christ as the mediator is not this, that the Lord Jesus Christ has to bring God our way and then bring us God's way so that God and us can meet in the middle. God doesn't have to be brought our way. We are the ones who have to be brought God's way, and we alone must be brought God's way. And the idea of Jesus as the mediator is not this either, that there's enmity between God and us, so that God hates us and we hate God, and now the Lord Jesus Christ comes in between us and brings us to love God and brings God to love us. That's not the idea of the mediator either. The truth is that from all eternity, God loves his people. There never was a time when God hated his church. There never was a time when his heart turned against his church in a curse so that he would cast them away from himself. The love of God is from eternity to eternity. In fact, the reason that there even is a mediator is because God himself has provided him. God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to bring reconciliation. And so the work of the mediator is not to turn the heart of God, because the heart of God is already towards his church. But the work of the mediator is to come and bring reconciliation by reconciling us to God, bringing us back to him. Though we, through Adam and through our own sin, had alienated ourselves from him. The enmity is not to be explained from God's side, but from man's side, and by the sin of man. The mediator then is between as the one who will redeem us and take us back, the one who will change us, the one who will cover all our iniquities that separate between God and us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator who reconciles us to Jehovah God. That's that idea of the mediator, the one who brings us to God through reconciliation. The idea of this mediator is further developed by seeing the way that he reconciles us to God and brings us back to God. The way he reconciles us is by satisfying the justice of God against our sins. That's the whole point that we've been leading up to in the Heidelberg Catechism so far. And question 18 indicates that by asking not just this, who then is the mediator, but who is that mediator, that one that we've been talking about before in the Heidelberg Catechism. That mediator that we've been looking for. And who is the one that we've been looking for? Well, it's the one who can satisfy the justice of God. God will have his justice satisfied, answer 12, and therefore we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. The Lord Jesus Christ as the mediator is that another who can satisfy the justice of God. He's the only one who could satisfy that justice of God. The Catechism has closed the door on us being able to satisfy that justice of God. He alone, as that mediator, satisfies the justice of God. And He did that on the cross by covering all our sins, all our iniquity, and by earning for us on that cross the right to the Spirit, the right to eternal life, the right to the inheritance in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, by His perfect work, has reconciled us to God by covering all our sins. And that's the significance of His name, as announced by the angel in Matthew 1, verse 21, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." That's the great need of the people alienated from God through sin and death. We need salvation from sin. Our mediator goes between and takes us back to God by covering all our sins in His precious blood. That makes this mediator glorious. That makes Him shine. That makes us praise Him. For He alone can satisfy God's justice against our sins. Then this truth of the mediator is developed to the next step further by seeing that this mediator does not merely come and give to us certain things that will bring us back to God, but that this mediator Himself is our reconciliation. This mediator Himself is the gift that God has given to us. We don't say it merely this way: He brings salvation, although He does that. But we say it this way: He is our salvation. That's the truth of the mediator. He is our salvation. And that's what the Catechism emphasizes when it quotes 1 Corinthians 1. In answer to the question, who is that mediator? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The Lord Jesus Christ is our wisdom. The Lord Jesus Christ is our righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ is our sanctification. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our redemption. And this emphasizes the truth then that when Jehovah God saves us and reconciles us to Himself through Jesus Christ, it's not as if Jehovah God and Jesus Christ are way over there doing this work and we forever remain way over here. But God comes right to us in His Son and gives His Son as our salvation itself. The Lord Jesus Christ is our salvation. The meaning of it, that Jesus is our salvation, is that all of our salvation is contained in Him. All of it belongs to Him as that which He has earned for us. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for our sins, He earned by that death your salvation and mine. He earned your righteousness and mine before God. He earned your sanctification and holiness and mine before God. He earned our redemption and freedom from sin and death. He earned our wisdom. He earned every gift of salvation. And all of it belongs to Him and was given to Him. And now the Lord Jesus Christ bestows all of this upon us by giving Himself to us through His Spirit and uniting us to Him as members of the body are united to the head, so that our salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our mediator. And then to develop this idea of the mediator to the next step yet, this means then that God deals with us always through the mediator. Jehovah God comes to His people, to His church, always through the mediator. He bestows everything upon us through the mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our salvation. He is our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification and our redemption. And therefore, everything that God does to us in saving us from sin and death, He does through the mediator. And that has some very important applications and implications for the child of God. In the first place, the implication is that there is no way for us to God than through the mediator, through Jesus Christ. God will not deal with us through any other mediation or mediator than through the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything He does with us is done through that mediator. That's part of our opposition then to the Roman Catholic Church's teaching that there are other mediators, a mediator like Mary, so that those who are afraid of Jesus Christ foolishly and wrongly may go to God through Mary, another mediator, or that those who need a particular blessing pray for that blessing of God through a saint who is known and associated with that particular blessing. There are no other mediators, not Mary, not the saints, no one else. Jesus Christ alone is the mediator. Right along with that implication and application is this one, that we do not go to God then through our own works or through our own worthiness either. The Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator. The only access we have to God and to all of the blessings of salvation that God bestows on us is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in His name and on the basis of His worth. We go to heaven through Him and not through our works. We stand in the final judgment through Jesus Christ and not through the things that we have done. Our only access to our God is through the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the mediator. He is our righteousness and wisdom and sanctification and redemption from God. Another implication of this truth is that God does all things to us through Christ is that we may be sure and certain of the salvation that God has promised to us. We may be sure that we are righteous. We may be sure that we are holy. We may be sure that we are wise. We may be sure that we are redeemed all through Jesus Christ, because He is our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Child of God may be absolutely certain that what God has promised, He will give for the sake of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful, comforting, encouraging, thrilling truth is the truth of the mediator through whom God has delivered us from all our sin and death. Jesus Christ is the only mediator and the only one who can mediate, because He alone is qualified. We move to the second point of the sermon here, and what the Heidelberg Catechism deals with first in Lord's Day 6, the qualifications of the mediator. Those qualifications were laid out, first of all, in question and answer 15. What sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? They were listed there for one who is very man and perfectly righteous and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who is also very God. But now in Lord's Day 6, the Catechism explains those qualifications of the mediator. The first qualification is that he must be very man. That is, he must be truly man. He must be a real man. He cannot only seem to be man, but in reality be some other being. He must truly, really, honestly be a man, a human being, as human as you and as I. The Catechism's question is, why must he be a real man? And the answer is, because of God's justice again. Man is the one who sinned against God. Adam was a human being, a real, true human being. It was that human being, Adam, who rebelled against the commandment of God. You and I are real, true human beings born of Adam. You and I, then, as human beings, must pay with Adam for the sin of mankind. Humans must pay for the sin of humans. God would not require of the blood of bulls and goats the payment for sin. They were pictures of something else, but the blood of those bulls and goats and sheep could never take away the sin of man. Man sinned, and therefore man must pay. Or as the Catechism says, because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which hath sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is qualified to be the mediator because he is a real man. He was born a real man in Bethlehem. He lived as a real, true human being for the 33 and a half years of his life on this earth. He died a real man upon the cross. He arose a real man the third day. He ascended into heaven a real man 40 days after his resurrection. He poured out the Holy Spirit as a real man, Jesus did, from heaven. And he reigns at the right hand of God right now as a real man. He's truly, truly human through his life on earth and now in heaven. And that's taught in Matthew 1 when the angel comes to Joseph and says, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son." If Mary, a human being, is bringing forth a son, that son is also a human being. He's a real man, a true man, as the son of Mary. And as a real man, then, he is qualified to stand before the bar of God's justice and be cursed by God for the sins that man committed, for all of the men who are in him committed, for all of the sins of the men who are in him committed. As a real man, he is qualified to be the mediator. His second qualification is that he must be a righteous man, perfectly righteous, with no original sin and with no actual sin. The Catechism's reason for the Lord being righteous is that one who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. If Jesus Christ himself had been guilty of Adam's sin, let's say, or if he had been guilty of his own sin, then his death on the cross could not have been to atone for the sins of others. The curse that he would have borne on the cross would have been the curse against his own sins, for which he himself was guilty and for which he himself was liable for eternal punishment. He never could have gotten to paying for your sins and mine if he himself was unrighteous and guilty. Only if he's a perfectly righteous man does his death under the curse of God redeem us and atone for our sins. And it is true that the Lord Jesus Christ was a perfectly righteous man. No original sin and no actual sin. No original sin because he was conceived by the Holy Ghost, as Matthew 1 teaches us. Verse 18, Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then verse 20, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The sin of Adam that passes down through all the generations of man did not pass down to the Lord Jesus Christ. The pollution of Adam did not pollute him. Jesus' human nature was perfectly unpolluted, perfectly righteous, perfectly holy, because he was conceived by the Holy Ghost, who purified that nature, who cleansed that nature, so that it was without the stain of any sin. He had no original pollution from Adam, and he had no original guilt from Adam either. That guilt means that even though we were not there with Adam, every human person is guilty for what Adam did, because Adam is the father of the human race. Jesus was not guilty for what Adam did, even though Jesus was a human, because Jesus' person is the second person of the Trinity. Jesus' person is divine. And therefore, the guilt of Adam is not imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no original sin, no original guilt, and no original pollution. And the Lord Jesus Christ had no actual sin either. He himself never committed any iniquity against the law of God. He was perfectly righteous. And when that perfectly righteous man went to the cross and stood before the bar of God's justice, and when God roared against him the curse against sin, and the curse of death and hell, he was roaring against him our curse, the curse of all of his elect, the curse of all of those who are found in him. The Lord Jesus Christ then was not paying for his own sins upon the cross, but paying for our sins by his death. He's a real righteous man, and therefore qualified to be the mediator. And then the third qualification of the mediator is that he must also be in one person truly God. As the Catechism says it, question and answer 17, why must he in one person be also very God? And then in question 18, who then is that mediator who is in one person both very real God and a real righteous man? The mediator had to be God because only God could sustain the curse of God. No creature, human or otherwise, can sustain the curse of God in his creaturely nature and deliver us from it. Only Jehovah God can bear the curse of God. As the Catechism says it, that he might, by the power of his Godhead, sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. Only God can bear the curse of God, and only God can obtain from God. Even if there were a creature, to speak foolishly, even if there were a creature that somehow could sustain the whole burden of God's wrath, that creature could not then turn around and say to God, now I have earned something, now I have obtained something from you. Only God can bear God's wrath, and only God can obtain from God. The Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior, as God, bore in his human nature the full curse of God against our sin, and bore that by his Godhead, and obtained from God by his Godhead righteousness and life eternal for his church. The way we say that then is that the Lord Jesus Christ had two natures, a human nature and a divine nature, and those two natures were united, not confused, not mixed, but united in the person of Jesus Christ, which is the second person of the Trinity. Two natures, human and divine, united in his one person. That's the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what qualifies him to be our Savior. There's another name in Matthew 1. There's the name Jesus, Jehovah Saves, which echoes through the Old and the New Testament. But there's another name in Matthew 1 that expresses the reality of these qualifications of Jesus to be the mediator, and that name is Emmanuel, God with us. He is God, and he is with us men because he is man too. God come in our flesh, the eternal Word made flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. He's qualified to be our mediator. These things are mysteries. These things are deep. These things are amazing. Too amazing for men to know by their own imagination. These things must be revealed. And so the Catechism concludes this Lord's Day by asking, whence knowest thou this? How do you know there's a mediator? How do you know he's God and man? How do you know he satisfies God's justice against our sins? Whence knowest thou this? The Catechism's answer is from the Holy Gospel. From the Holy Gospel. The Gospel teaches the truth of the mediator. What is the Gospel? The Gospel is the good news of salvation from sin, the glad tidings of Jesus Christ. The character of the Gospel is that it is good news, and the content of the Gospel is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Gospel. That's the Holy Gospel that we confess also in the canons, heads 3 and 4, article 5, or article 6 rather, what therefore neither the light of nature nor the law could do, that God performs by the operation of the Holy Spirit. And now here's the canon's definition of the Gospel: through the word or ministry of reconciliation, which is the glad tidings concerning the Messiah, by means whereof it hath pleased God to save such as believe, as well under the Old as under the New Testament. The Gospel is the good news and glad tidings of salvation through Jesus Christ. That Gospel has a history. That good news and glad tidings has been proclaimed throughout the history of the world. The Heidelberg Catechism in question 19 recounts briefly that history from the Holy Gospel, which God himself first revealed in paradise when he said to the serpent, I will send the seed of the woman to crush your head. That's the announcement of the good news of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. He's coming as the seed of the woman. God announced that in paradise through the slaying of an animal, the shedding of its blood to make coats of skins to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness. That was the announcement of the Gospel in picture form in the killing of that animal. The Catechism goes on. God afterwards published this Gospel by the patriarchs and prophets. That's interesting. That means that Old Testament history, including the history of the patriarchs, and Old Testament prophecy, including all of the books of the prophets in the Old Testament, is the Gospel. That's the message of the history of the patriarchs, and that's the message of the proclamation of the prophets. Their message was Jesus Christ. So that Jesus Christ was revealed in the Old Testament, not by that name, Jesus, yet, but by the reality that Jehovah saves from sin and from death. The whole Old Testament, then, is the proclamation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Catechism goes on, and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law. Speaking now of the ceremonial law, with all of its purification, with all of its shedding of blood, that ceremonial law was the gospel in picture form. And then lastly, has fulfilled it by His only begotten Son. The Lord Jesus Christ is the gospel. He's the message of the gospel. And all of that Old Testament was pointing ahead to the Savior, Jesus Christ. All of those sacrifices are fulfilled in Him. All of those purifications are fulfilled in Him. For He is our wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And that gospel is still proclaimed today and must still be proclaimed today. That gospel is not finished now that Jesus has come. That gospel must still be proclaimed. And Jehovah God does that through the preaching of the gospel in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the worship services of the church. What's happening now is the good news of glad tidings of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed. And that's always the message that the church must hear, not only on the mission field, so that those who are in darkness may be called out of darkness into God's marvelous light for the very first time. But that's the good news that the church needs to hear every Lord's Day and every sermon. As Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the gospel. That's the good news of salvation. We are sinful and in ourselves deserve judgment and wrath. But we have a mediator. And through that mediator and through Him alone have life and eternal bliss with our God. And so that message that was shouted in Matthew 1, that echoed all the way back through the Old Testament, and that rings in the New Testament, rings here in our ears and hearts today. Jesus, Jehovah saves, the mediator from all our sin. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word to us this morning. Bless it to our hearts. Encourage us by it. We thank Thee for our mediator. We thank Thee that Thou hast given Him for our salvation. We thank Thee for the gospel that declares Him, that we might know Him and receive Him by faith. Wilt Thou forgive what we have done in sin. Bless Thy word to our hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter number 92. Number 92. We sing of God as our Savior again in this psalm, as our advocate and judge, the one who delivers us. Let's sing the stanzas 1, 3, and 8. 1, 3, and 8 of 92.
Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.